Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And because it's the fourth Wednesday of the month, we have with us Cindy McLeish, our local MP and deputy leader of the Liberal Party and all sorts of things. How are you, Cindy?
I'm very well, thank you, Alan. And good afternoon, everybody.
And welcome back. Cindy, I just very quickly before we get started, I was yesterday up around Kilmore Seymour, and then I came across through Yay and down through Yarra Glen and all that. And it's terrific to see things. And I played that song by Slim Dusty about the country revival. I see a lot of the eating places and all that have got signs out the front looking for waiters and waitresses and that. So is it starting to pick up in the country around? Because I know you represent a big country area.
Look, I think the business owners, particularly in the hospitality and accommodation, are finding things have picked up considerably, but there is so much pressure on the cafes and hotels because they can't find staff.
Yep.
Now, this is in the city as well, so it's not just in the country. It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem. And, you know, we don't really think about where all the staff come from. It's not always local people because in the city, they have international students who work, have part-time jobs.
To support themselves,
To support themselves. Across Victoria, we have backpackers.
Yep.
Who, you know, work their way. And, you know, a lot of Australians used to do that, working around Europe or America if they could get the right visas. And we had a lot of those people filling jobs as well. On top of that, there were people that were coming out on what was the old 457 visa, you know, the skilled skilled worker filling a gap. And so whether that was a chef in Marysville or in Yay, for example, that they were able to come over from another country and work here. And that took the pressure off, so venues could operate at capacity. But at the moment, you know, some venues are telling me that they're only opening half the dining room or only accepting bookings for half the capacity because they don't have staff. And then others are using staff who haven't been doing it for a long time and aren't as skilled. So people are like start to whinge about the service a little bit, and that really puts the business owners
bit under pressure
behind the eight ball.
Now, the other thing that I hijacked a little bit because I was up there yesterday and I noticed through there. Cindy, the other thing that we still need to do is to get people out of Melbourne at weekends and long weekends and all that, and to start to spend some money not only in the food industry but in all sorts of businesses, don't we?
Look, we do, but at the same time, we need Country Victoria to go and spend in the city.
Yeah, good
because
point.
Because the city is in a worse position than regional Victoria.
Is it?
And it's all... Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's always been said that the city looks after itself and we have to help drive tourism in regional Victoria to support local jobs and businesses and small businesses. And that's been, you know, long held. But now, you know, the accommodation... Forward bookings in the accommodation coming into winter, you know, are really low. A lot of the tourist attractions did quite well over the school holidays, which is good.
Yep.
Which is really good. But that's not... Well, they're not as optimistic about coming into winter. People have got money.
Yep.
People didn't spend. People might have been saving to go overseas. And that's not happening. So, you know, people do have some people, not everybody, depending on how you fared with COVID. You know, some people do have money.
And so we're urging to spend. Now, Cindy, let's talk about, I know as a local MP, you're very involved with Anzac Day and they're all over the place. So tell us a little bit about what happened on Anzac Day, please, Cindy.
Well, do you know, there's a few things that happened, and certainly locally... Locally, you know, the services, the RSLs, return servicemen, do a great job in putting together local.
Hang on, we've lost you, Cindy. I'll have to come back to you, Cindy. We've just temporarily lost you for a minute. Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. Now, I was talking to Cindy and I asked her about Anzac Day and she started to answer us and she disappeared. But I got to put my be honest and put my hand up and say, sorry, Cindy, it was me. I hit the wrong button. So sorry about that.
That's okay, Alan. You know, as you said to me off air, you're not paid to be a professional radio announcer.
Go for it, Cindy. Now, so we'll go back
this year I spent Anzac Day in the Upper Yarra. And, you know, I rotate between, you know, the Murrindindi Shire, the Mansfield Shire, and pretty well the Yarra Valley. And so I did the dawn service at Millgrove. And it was just such a lovely service and, you know, plenty of people. But as I was driving out, I drove past the service at Yarra Junction at the Upper Yarra as well. And they looked as though they had a really great crowd. One of the things that impressed me most when I was driving out, you know, there were a lot of utes, 4x4 type things. Oh. And pulled up just in front of me was a couple of youngish men, maybe, you know, 30s, and had a couple of little kids, a couple of little boys. I think there were two or three boys aged about 5, 7 or whatever. And, you know, this is at 5:45 in the morning. And, you know, they've got there and they've got their medals that one of their relatives would have had in the war, and they've got the kids all sorted. And there were so many children, locally, a lot from Millwarra Primary School, who'd put lanterns together, made these gorgeous lanterns, and they put them around the memorial rock that they've got at Millgrove near the CFA.
Terrific.
And so that was, the rock was covered by, surrounded by lanterns that the kids made, and then they laid them. And as dawn broke, you know, the kookaburras were cackling away, and the fog was just in the distance, but you could see the top of the mountains. It was just, it was just beautiful.
That'd be terrific, wouldn't it?
Oh, look, it was. And the folks from the school and the church bringing it all together and the community group, you know, do a great job.
So, and there's what, there was as many as normal years or more, Cindy?
I'd certainly say as many.
Yeah.
They weren't able to have the gunfire breakfast, so not as many people hung around.
Yeah.
Whereas normally, you know, you have your eggs and your bacon and your baked beans. That the CFA there, the Millgrove CFA, you know, they put that on. So they only just had a sausage sizzle. And apparently sausage sizzles aren't as popular as eggs and bacon.
I wonder why.
So they certainly had plenty of people, plenty of sausages looking like that they were left over. But we had Michael Veitch, who a lot of people might know. Michael lives locally, but he was a comedian on TV for quite some time, and he's does a bit of writing, but he's also a squadron leader in the Air Force Reserve, and he spoke and did a lovely story about some of the locals who went to war, but talked about the context of it being in 1914, when, you know, leaving Millgrove to go to Launching Place was a bit of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, leaving Millgrove to go to Wooreallik would have been a bigger deal, or Lilydale, you know, and people would never have gone to Melbourne. But then, you know, the war started and all these young men had never been out of, you know, their backyards. Mm. Actually, you know, got on boats and ventured overseas. And, you know, he put it in context of the times like that. And I thought that was really quite good to create the picture in people's minds about, you know, really what it was like back then.
My you talk about people not travelling. My grandparents lived in Oakley and their holiday house was at Alinda. And they said it took nearly all day to get there by the time they had to get to the trains and buses and all that. So, I mean, we travel, like, you know, 300 kilometres in a day, and we don't think about it. But back in those days, it was a big deal, wasn't it?
It was. People used to have holiday houses in Frankston, and they get the train down to Frankston to go on holidays. You know, gosh, it's full-on suburbia.
Cindy, so, I've got to take a quick break, and I'll be back. We'll be back.
Ooh. find your way through the night. When you've lost touch and nothing's feeling right, you can't find that path that leads you home. You don't know which road to choose. That's when
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And being the fourth Wednesday of the month, I have with me Cindy McLeish, who is our local MP, apart from a lot of other things. And Cindy's always out and about in the community, and she's telling us what's going on. Cindy, you want to tell us a bit about the Warburton RSL? That sounds terrific.
Oh, look, Warburton RSL did a great job putting on both the Millgrove Dawn service, and then they had their 10:30, quarter to 11 service as well, and they had a march, and I think they were very pleasantly surprised how many people turned, were participating in the march. But the oldest veteran, returned soldier in the valley, I think Dick Leith, I think is his name, his family brought him, and he was the head of the march, and they were very, very happy that, as a World War II veteran, you're in your 90s when you're at that point.
I was going to say, he wouldn't be a young man.
No, he wasn't a young man, but, they were really thrilled to have him along. And I had the honour of actually making the doing the talk, the guest speaker at Warburton this year, which was something that I was really quite honoured to be able to do. And as you're, you know, you're there, when then after we've laid the wreath, well, in fact, not after, before the wreaths were laid, the very first wreath, the donkey. So there's local Linda J in East Warburton, got some donkeys, and the donkey was decked out with a little cross on it, you know, like a service mule type thing.
Terrific.
And made it up the steps. So Linda got the donkey, you know, from the road, up all of the steps to the cenotaph and laid a wreath and then went down. I was most impressed.
That'd be terrific.
It brings it?
It
to life. It brings it to life.
Yeah. Terrific. Cindy, I've just got to take another quick break and we'll be back with more. Our own local singer-songwriter, Leanne Patrick, at Newtown. And Leanne's is teeing up a few gigs at the moment. So when we find out what they are or where they are and they'll be local, we'll let you know, because it's great to support our local talent. Cindy, you'd like to bring us up to date on some works that are going around in the area, please.
Well, we know that there's been some works for some time to try and improve situation out of the redwoods. You know, the redwood forest was a beautiful little hidden gem, and I expect probably by now most people locally have been there as well.
Too many know about it now.
Way too many know about it. Three quarters of Melbourne know about it and have visited. Yeah, that's what happens with a bit of social media and TV coverage. Exposure does. And the parking was a debacle, and, you know, there was several parties involved. The council owned the road that was heading into it, and it was a dirt road, and it caused grief for the residents. So they've had to seal the road because the residents had dust all over their washing and all sorts of things. So they got that road sealed up to the bridge, and then the car parking in there was a big mess. So they've sealed a section, which is kind of, it's kind of, you know, taken away from the beautiful natural surrounds, you know, having things sealed. But, you know, there's no toilets and things like that. So I believe that there's another million or so dollars going to be spent on fixing that up out there, which is not without time. Now, Melbourne Water have got a few projects on the go as well. And everybody, certainly out at Reefton and McMahon's Creek, will, and Warburton, would see the trucks doing the daily runs because they're reinforcing the wall at the Upper Yarra Dam.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a couple of years, the project been going. And it's nearing completion. It's due to be completed in the middle of the year. So I'm not sure if that's still up to date. I'm just trying to... So I haven't heard that it's not. So with that, there's the camping ground at the Upper Yarra Dam, and it's one of the most beautiful camping grounds, big open area, and, you know, it's got good facilities that need upgrading. So there's going to be a bit of investment into that. So I'm really pleased that that's going to be done. And that'll open up such great opportunities because sometimes, you know, people can do go camping in their own backyard.
Oh, absolutely.
You can be at Woorealik and you can be happy to go up to the Upper Yarra and go camping.
Well, it's a different lifestyle, isn't it? Even if you camp, I used to know a guy that lived in Rosebud and used to camp at Rye, and he said, you get on the foreshore, it's a completely different life.
And he went all of 10 minutes.
Yeah, but he reckoned that it was just as good. He said, if I travel to Queensland, I'm still going to be sort of on the beachfront where he was used to go, and he said, 10 minutes down the road, it's a completely different lifestyle.
So, look, you know, they'll have this fabulously, you know, revamped setting up at the Upper Yarra Dam. I hope there's a few buildings up there that really do need attention. I'm not sure that they're all going to get the attention that they deserve, but Melbourne Water are involved in those projects. And there's been a... Outside the hotel at Launching Place, the Home Hotel, they've got a canoe launch area.
Oh.
And that's nearly completed. It's not quite completed. So that will allow easier access for canoes, for canoeists getting in and out of the river. And, you know, you can also access the Yarra in a canoe at Doon Reserve. And so you can, you know, go up and down between the two of them. You know, you can go with the current one way and you can row against the current the other way.
Or... They're hard going.
But, you know, like, and so it'll open up some opportunities as well, which I'm pleased to see that those access points are moving ahead. We've still got some problems at Millgrove with the walking tracks and a few things there that haven't quite gone as quickly as they'd expect. You know, I think they thought that by now things would almost be completed, but there's been a few hold-ups in those areas. But that'll help make, you know, the Upper Yarra, you know, a great place. Look at the success of the council splash park up at Warburton, you know. Yep. I mean, it's such a success. It's a bit like the Redwoods. The car parking can't quite keep up with the success. So I think the council have got to do a little bit more work around car parking generally.
To add to the experience, doesn't it?
Look, it does. And then, you know, locals also get really cheesed off if they're trying to go somewhere, even down to the shops, you know, they can't get a park. So I think, you know, at Warburton certainly parking is a prime. We've got better parking at Junction. You know, there's parking down near the footy ground and there's parking behind the supermarkets, but Warburton, it's just a little bit squeezy at the minute. And Tommy Finn's, the old trout farm's open again. So, you know, there's some great attractions. And it's good to see that Melbourne Water are putting some money into helping things around the river because, you know, it's a resource that people really love.
It's a terrific asset,
and
isn't it?
Want to use.
Terrific
resource
asset.
An asset, yeah.
All right, Cindy, I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
once in my life I have someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me. Somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can touch what my heart used to dream of long before I do. Someone warm like you would make my dream come true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Once in my life, I won't let sorrow hurt me. Not like it's hurt me before. For once, I have something I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. I can't believe how quick this hour's gone. It's nearly set. Well, it is 16 minutes to two and still sitting on 18 degrees. We're looking for 19. And I have with me Cindy McLeish, who's our local Member of Parliament and Deputy Leader of the Liberal Party and all sorts of things. And we're talking about what's going on in the community, because Cindy gets out in the community probably a lot more than the rest of us. But Cindy, you're at a lot of the listeners know I'm a Rotarian, but you went to a terrific night at the Healesville Rotary.
I did. The Healesville Rotary have a lot of their functions at Sanctuary House in Badger Creek, where Sam is, you know, the host. And it's a kind of, you know, a restaurant-y, well, it's not a restaurant, it's a, you know, they have meals and accommodation. But they had a fabulous event to celebrate and acknowledge the services of one of the local doctors, Dr. Elroy Schroeder. And Dr. Schroeder notched up 50 years as a doctor in Healesville, and probably just when he came to Victoria. He was South African, and he talked about being a doctor, a young doctor in South Africa, and then making the transition, coming to Victoria, getting registered in Victoria, being sent to Murrayville on the border of South Australia for a year, like within about 5 minutes of actually getting off the plane. And then he settled in Healesville, and he's been the local doctor for there ever since. And he had some hilarious stories that, you know, being in practice over the years.
I bet he did. And he would have seen the practices change a lot, weren't they? Is he in a clinic or is he still by himself?
No, he's in a clinic. But, yeah, certainly. And what they do as a GP, you know, like he talked about, I think he'd done a lot of anaesthetics in South Africa, and one of his offsiders had done orthopaedics, and there'd been a guy who'd, you know, almost taken his leg off with a chainsaw. And, you know, they were able to, in Healesville, perform you know, the repair job, and they did a really good job because it just happened that Elroy had a particular expertise and so did one of the other doctors. Whereas now, you know, you're unlikely to have that sort of training before you go into being a general practitioner, you know, general practitioner. You'd have different training now. But he had come from, you know, certainly in Africa, South Africa, where you'd had to do so many things. You know, he talked about it being at one of the hospitals. They have like 900 babies a month.
Gee.
You know, like that's just extraordinary numbers. And he said you become an expert very quickly, you know, with all of the forceps and suctions and all these sorts of techniques that are needed. He said you become very skilled very quickly and, you know, at a young age. So Heels will have been really lucky to have him for so long. And he did tell one of the funniest stories I've heard for years about how he managed to cure somebody who had had a spell cast on him by a witch doctor.
Yeah?
And it was the funniest story ever. But they had to get this patient to believe that, you know, Elroy was smarter and stronger and you know, more credited than the person that had put the spell on him. And he, you know, talked about the what he did and how he did it, and it was just hilarious.
That's true.
Yeah, it was. And look, the other one of the other doctors in Healesville that has retired now, but Ian Tinney was also honoured at the event because he did 32 years as a GP in Healesville. And, you know, he talked about also being in his young days, I was in central Victoria, and being the only doctor in town. I think it was central Victoria, you know, the only doctor in town, and you got to do everything. And you also learnt very quickly, you know, about so much. And it was really interesting to hear their stories of the of their doctoring, their medical work in the Yarra Valley.
It's very unusual. It's very unusual these days for a doctor to have spent 50 years in Healesville, another one 35 years, isn't it?
Oh, look, I'm sure it is. But, you know, you come to a great place like the Yarra Valley.
Why leave?
It's just it's a great location. It's a great place to live and a great place to work. So, you know, they've certainly, Healesville and the surrounds have certainly, you know, benefited from these doctors. But it was a great night and, you know, they were just coming out of COVID restrictions, so they had it live streamed as well. But,
Cool.
Everyone really enjoyed the night. And I thought it was a wonderful, fitting tribute.
It's terrific. We've actually had Ian Tinney in here a few years ago talking about being a member of Rotary. We weren't so much talking about the doctors, but I remember Ian coming in here at one stage.
Yeah, and look, he was pretty funny. He would have some, you know, pretty funny stories to tell as well.
Cindy, I've just got to take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
No worries. Tell me, baby, I'm your loving man. Oh, baby.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of music you'll hear on Sunday if you tune in straight after midday news between 12 and 3 for music, memories and more. Hits of the 50s, 60s, your requests, the 1 o'clock funnies and all sorts of things. But anyway, the show now is Community Connections. We're talking to Cindy McLeish, our local MP. Cindy, you'd like to talk about a bridge.
A bridge, the bridge of significance out at Reefton or McMahon's Creek at the Reefton Hotel. It's been a battle. Everybody's been battling for years about this bridge. So in 2017, there was a few issues identified with it, and it was eventually removed. And what it did when it was removed, it basically cut the community off. From half the community from each other. So you've got the big space, the open space in front of the Reefton Hotel, and people could cross the bridge and get to the bus and to the school kids and all this. And now without it, they actually have to walk onto the road, which is terribly, terribly dangerous. And it's been this way for years. And, you know, you've got all these trucks barrelling down there doing the work on the Upper Yarra Dam going past all the time. And, you know, for people walking, if you know, to or from the pub or from visiting other people, you know, it's really dreadful. And so when they first looked at it, and it's been difficult actually to work out what's been going on because the government haven't been very forthcoming with information. So I had to request a lot under Freedom of Information. And we've just got it back. And so we found out that before they pulled it down, they looked at the options about how much it was going to cost to replace it. And one of the options was actually they could prop it up. So they propped it up at a cost of $200,000 for 3 months, then pulled it down.
Oof.
And replacing the bridge wasn't, you know, it's only going to cost $100,000 more. But they also had to pay an ongoing fee of, you know, some $4,000 a week. So, you know, they could have had this bridge done and paid for, but they didn't want to tell anyone. You know, at one point they said, oh, it's going to cost $2 million. And it was nonsense. It was only, you know, the quotes were much, much, much less than that. And so, you know, they didn't want to hand them over through FOI. So I had to appeal it through FOI to find out actually what were the costings that they were hiding from us. And, you know, to find out that they made some dodgy choices. And here we are 4 years down the track. And it could have been solved really quickly and simply. So the townsfolk, the action group down at Reefton and McMahon's Creek have got to, you know, continuing the battle and trying to keep the pressure on the government to get this bridge replaced.
Yep. Now, there was something else you wanted to bring up too, Cindy.
Oh, look, at the minute we're in the middle of Ramadan, which people will know that is, you know, one of the big religious events of in the calendar year and in the Islamic calendar. And there's always, you know, a number of events. And for those who don't know, you know, Ramadan, people fast during the day and you're allowed to eat at sunset. So, you know, people are pretty starving by 6 o'clock. And, you know, the sun goes down fairly early at the moment. And they invite people for dinners, to an iftar dinner in the home. And I usually take up the opportunity, and I had I went out to Roxburgh Park, quite a long way away, and had dinner with a couple. She was a teacher at one of the local Islamic schools, and oh, I forget what her husband did, but they had a priest there, an Anglican priest or two Anglican priests, and they had other people not of the Islamic faith, and some of, you know, to open their homes to let people understand a little bit more about their faith and Ramadan, and sharing a meal with them. And it's a terrific experience.
Cindy, does everybody that's involved with Ramadan do that? And how do they decide who they're going to invite?
Well, look, there's an interfaith council within the Islamic community. And so a few years ago, you know, they were thinking about people didn't really know much about their faith and had a whole lot of misconceptions. Yep. So they thought, how do we change this? And they came up with the notion of having these dinners. And so people that are involved in the interfaith group. Actually, you know, between themselves, they've grown it and they've got more families willing to host a dinner. And so they invite, they'll invite a lot of MPs, they might invite councillors, they might invite leaders of business, they might invite people involved in different faiths. And one of the ones I did when I was Shadow for Education, the principal, I was at the principal of one of the big colleges, Sirius College, and he had a number of his teaching staff also come around for dinner that night when I was there. So, you know, they really think about it. And I guess not so long ago, probably a month ago, less than a month, they also have an open mosque day. And it's like, you know, you have churches or synagogues open their doors for people to go in and have a look. And I went to the Albanian mosque. And I was able to say I knew an Albanian family from Millgrove. And they've been here for donkeys. You wouldn't know they're Albanian. And in fact, the walk in Millgrove near the shops there is named after the mother of the family, Nairi. Funny way to say it, Nairi's Walk. And she was the mother of the family. But I went to the Albanian mosque in Drummond Street in Carlton, and it was one of the most beautiful, tranquil buildings that I'd been in. You know, really old style. They've owned it since the 50s or the 60s, the Albanian community, and it was, you know, white with the blue and white tiles in it. It was just so tastefully done, and they've done a few renos over the years. And but again, you know, it's something that they do to try and show their community and to open their faith to people. So, you know, it's something that people don't fear.
Well, and it helps break down prejudice too, doesn't it?
Certainly, certainly. Yeah, so that's just a couple of things that has been happening in that faith at the moment. And we've just had a week or two ago, we had the Holocaust Memorial that was run by the Jewish community that I was involved in. And next week, I think we've got a celebration of 70 years of Israel's independence, I think it might be. Right. Maybe I'm wrong about the 70, but...
bit coming up?
73rd year anniversary of Israel's independence.
Oh, terrific.
So, you know, the different religions really reach out to people within communities so that people understand where they're coming from. And I think that's a good thing.
Oh, that's great. Cindy, unfortunately, this hour goes extremely quickly. Unfortunately, the hour is just about gone. Thank you for being with us again, and we look forward to being with you on the fourth Wednesday of, May, nearly half the year gone.
Look forward to it.
Thanks, okay. Cindy. Bye.